T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio WEEI, Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini here with you until 6 o'clock. We'll be joined in 30 minutes by Jared Weiss at The Athletic. Get his take on the game last night. Celtics with an overtime win over the Golden State Warriors. We continue to react to it with you at 617-779-7937. We'll get to more of your phone calls here in just a moment. Megan, I missed this. I didn't catch this on TV last night.
I don't think it made TV.
It did not make
TV. Did not make it. Didn't make the cut. Only the people on the inside, and I guess Nesson posted a video too.
Thanks, Nesson.
Really got this, but well, you set it up. What happened here?
So Joe Mazzulla went to the podium to talk post game. He's the first person out to talk, and this was the first question, and it was just Mazzulla's got a little snark, and I like it. I like it. Just listen to this,
Joe. How would you characterize this win? You had a lot of clutch performances down the stretch, but he also had a lot of sloppy turnovers down the stretch.
Yes.
How would you yes. Like, is this a good win? Is this something that...
I mean, is there a bad win?
I mean, there are wins...
We did say before that if we didn't win, it was the end of the world. So I know. So now that we won, I feel like we...
Right, but...
No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
Wow. Yeesh.
It's so mean.
That sounded like our friend John Corrales there.
It was John Corrales.
Getting the business from Joe Mazzulla.
They had a nice little combo I saw after. So it's not,
sloppy
I don't think
turnovers
there was like,
down the stretch?
Yes.
I like the beginning. There were some turnovers down the... Yes.
He doesn't break eye contact either.
Mazzulla
That's so uncomfortable.
So dry. It's so funny to me. And then when he goes in and said... Well, you said... I believe you said like... If we lost this game, it's the end of the world, so it must be a good win.
Is this a good win? Is this something that...
I mean, is there a bad win?
I mean, there are wins...
We did say before that if we didn't win, it was the end of the world. So I know. So now that we won, I feel like we...
Right, but...
No, I'm just kidding.
Right, I know.
No, I know. I'm in on the joke.
I get it. We're having fun here.
I get it. It's funny. You're funny. You're funny. I'm funny. We're friends. Everybody's good.
I like how he let him pause for a second. And then as soon as Corrales started to go, well, he just jumped right back in.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Stepped all over him. That was interesting. Joe Mazzulla, I'll tell you what. He treated that game like it was an important game. He treated that game not like it was some regular season game. No. He had a tight bench, only short rotation, and he played a lot of minutes for his guys. Even Jaylen Brown, I think, played, 38 minutes on one leg? Like, he was not 100%, and you could see it from the way he was playing, but they needed him out there. They got what they were looking for, and coming away with a victory against that team. Listen, I know they're bad on the road. I know Golden State's bad on the road, and I know that it wasn't the prettiest game in the world for Jason Tatum, but you look at those numbers, and you look at the way it all sort of shook out, and you look at another win. That's what good teams do. They win ugly games like that.
Were you impressed with Klay Thompson last night?
Yes, I was. Okay. I thought Klay Thompson was the best Warrior, and I thought he ate up Marcus Smart a few times, too. Marcus Smart, whenever I feel like he had to switch over to Thompson hit a three right in his face. I feel like that happened like at least 3 or 4 times. So, you know, Marcus Smart's a great defensive player, but everybody's got someone that they have trouble with, and Thompson really gave Smart trouble last night.
I want to like Klay Thompson. Like, he seems like a nice guy. He's just starting to bother me.
Seems like a bit of a goof to me. Like,
yeah, I thought he was like this big kind of goober, goofy guy, makes fun of himself. All his teammates always talk about how he has like the wackiest sense of humor and everything. I was so happy last night when he fouled out, and it because the way that it happened, Jaylen had the sloppiest handle, and Jaylen was doing everything at this point.
Yep.
So I don't say this with like some of the ire that I would usually attach to it, but he's going to the basket. He's got this sloppy, like first grader dribble going, and Klay comes in and tries to like take it from him mid dribble. And then Jaylen did this weird thing where the ball got out a little bit and then he grabbed it and dribbled it again. Yeah. And it was definitely not legal. And they called a foul on Klay. And that's how Klay fouled out. And I don't know if Jaylen had said something when it happened. I was too far away. Like, I don't know if he yelped or something. But Klay Thompson started doing this like sarcastic clap. Like, oh, very good acting. He was so pissed off.
Real classy. Good job, Boston.
Yeah, he was so sarcastic, just like clapping in Jaylen, at Jaylen, clapping over to the bench. Like the bench coaches were trying to calm him down. I want to like Klay Thompson. It's not going to happen for me. I think it's over there.
Oh, man.
And I just, I was kind of.
Children in the crowd.
Yeah, I was happy to see like for once Jaylen's turnover to go that way to where he definitely did something totally illegal, got away with it. Fine.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson sits.
Yeah, there you go. And we'll have to send T's and P's over to Klay Thompson now that he knows that Megan Ottolini's never going to like him.
Okay.
I mean,
people
that's
that
tough.
You don't like.
Good job, Boston.
I want to bring this up because you put this tweet out there last night.
Yes.
And you got a little backlash.
I did. I got a little backlash for it. I thought it was pretty clear what the tweet was about. I tweeted how at the end of the game, Tatum had those two turnovers, and then Jaylen Brown hit the big three, and Jaylen Brown was having a bad game. So I tweeted out a picture, that picture of Brian Windhorst leaning back in his chair with the two fingers
after
up in the air.
After he's given his explanation.
Yeah, and it was sort of like a fake, you know, Windhorst kind of conspiracy take, which was even when Brown's having a bad game, he still has to save Tatum's bacon in crunch time versus the Warriors. Now, why is that? And, you know, the why is that was sort of the thing there. It wasn't really a serious day. I thought Tatum played a very good game.
How dare you?
And I thought that, yeah, obviously Brown hit a big three there. But Tatum actually had more points in the fourth quarter, I think, than Brown did. I think they were close. I think it was like 8-7. But he actually, you know, he scored a few more points. So it was definitely meant in jest. And people were like, oh, you don't know ball. Oh, what a lazy day. It's like, guys, relax. First of all, stop being such little babies all the time. Every time someone says anything about, you know, like, there's so many people. When you say even something like an ugly win, that was an ugly win. Oh, you don't know basketball. Oh, you're just a casual, like, shut the bleep up. No, anybody who's ever watched the Celtics this year can watch that game last night and understand that what you saw wasn't particularly pretty. No one's saying it doesn't count. No one's saying, maybe some other people are. I'm not saying it doesn't count. It certainly does. And I think that winning games last night the way the Celtics did is indicative of how good they are, because that's what really, really good teams do. They miss their shots. They're up against a team like the Warriors, a team that they already have sort of a thing with, and they managed to rise above all that and come out with a win anyway. I mean, that's, I don't know what else you need. I don't know what else you need to
How
hear.
How dare you joke about the NBA?
I got to throw flowers
How
at their feet
you?
Now, too. I can't, you know, no jive. We don't like jokes here now. Can't
Why
tell jokes.
Jazz do that?
Like, please. Oh, God. Celtics fans, sneaky can be the most crybaby
sneaky?
Fans. Sneaky can. I feel like Patriots fans, number one. But after that, and I'm a, you know, I'm the biggest Celtics fan as there is. I feel like Celtics fans get about as bitchy and crybaby-ish as there, as there is
precious.
Out there.
How dare you?
It does happen. It happened last night for sure. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go up to our neighbors to the north up in Halifax. Talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
Actually, to the south, but whatever.
Oh, I thought it was Halifax in Nova Scotia, no?
Where is Halifax?
Just north of Plymouth.
Oh, okay. Oh. You're Halifax, Mass. My bad. Anyway, go ahead, Chris.
I'm, like, stuck between Plymouth and Bridgewater. Anyways.
T's and P's.
Sorry.
Currently speaking, Tatum is third in the league in scoring. Jaylen Brown is 12th in the league in scoring. Guess who has the lowest turnover percentage of those 12 players?
I don't know. Who does?
Jason Tatum. Guess who has the second lowest turnover percentage?
I don't know. Who has
players?
The second lowest?
Jaylen Brown.
Oh.
So?
Out of all the who? Out of who, Megan? Chris? Sorry, Chris. Out of all the. What was the list you just were naming him from?
The top 12 scorers in the NBA.
Top 12 scorers in the NBA. Okay, Brown and Tatum turn it over the least, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
The only player with as few turnovers as Jaylen Brown is Donovan Mitchell. They both both at three turnovers a game.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Okay.
I'm glad that you're happy with the number of turnovers last night. I am not.
I don't
know how you watched the game last night, how you watched the finals, how you watched the playoffs last year, and don't think that this team has an issue with turnovers. You can compare these guys individually to 100 other guys in the league and say, hey, we have the top scorers here on this team by this ranking, by that ranking, and they don't turn it over as much as person X.
As much as Giannis,
who has the freaking ball all game. Like, come on, man. It's not apples to apples.
Guess who has the lowest turnover percentage?
Who has the lowest percentage? But let me get on the Google machine. I'm sorry. Watch the freaking game. I don't mean that to be condescending. Like, I understand you want to defend your guys.
You don't sound condescending when you do it.
I don't know why I sit here and I'm saying I can't get mad at Jason Tatum. He's doing everything he can. I can still say that the turnovers look sloppy and reckless and stupid. Like, can you accept that?
Of course. And they were. And that's the reason why that game was as close as it was last night. It was because of Jason Tatum, his bad shooting, and the 7 turnovers that he had. That's the reason why that game wasn't a more comfortable win for the Celtics, for sure. But let's not act like the turnovers didn't happen. Let's not act like that's not a problem with Jason Tatum when he plays that team.
The second lowest.
I'll tell you who has the second lowest percentage of turnovers out of the top 12 scorers of the National Basketball Association. Yeah, like, that's great. Sure.
All right, he turns the ball over less than Giannis and I don't know who else. And Joel Embiid.
Or James Harden.
James Harden and all those guys. Terrific. Is that what we're looking for here? Or are we looking for him to pick it up a little bit and turn it over less than he did last night? I think that's really it. And I also think that was kind of a one-off. I do agree. I think Jason Tatum this year, for the most part, has taken pretty good care of the ball. I think the Celtics as a team have emphasized that and done better with that this year. That wasn't the case last night. It's worth pointing out. All right? I don't know. I feel like Celtics fans just think that this is how it's going to be forever for the rest of the year and that there's not going to be any real adversity and that the Celtics are just going to, you know, cruise to victory from here on out. And I don't know. I mean, that's awfully ambitious. That's an ambitious way of looking at this team who, for all the success that they've had so far this year, we've seen them. You know, last year they looked unstoppable for the second half of the year up until game 4 of the NBA Finals. They didn't look like there was a team out there that belonged on the court with them half the time. All right? And that sputtered out. That thing sputtered out. This thing can sputter out, too. Let's just all get a hold of ourselves. 617-779-7937. There's the phone number. Here's Ryan Garvin with trending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're right back to WEEI.
WEEI, Christian Arkin, Megan Ottolini. We'll be joined by Jared Weiss here in about 10 minutes from The Athletic. Get his take on the Celtics last night. Real quick, there was a good amount made of Draymond Green's comments about the Celtics and Celtics fans and how he was, you know, couldn't wait to come see the Boston fans again and, you know, win just like they won in the finals and he was so happy to do it in Boston because we're so bad and da 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 da. I don't know. I mean, you were there. You were there for player intros. I saw it, a tweet about it. I didn't see it live, obviously, because I wasn't there. Didn't seem like there was that much vitriol. Didn't seem like it was really that nasty of an environment for the Warriors, for Draymond Green, for anybody. I mean, it seemed pretty tame, all in all.
It actually felt like in person. and this can always be just like the section that you're in. I felt like there was a healthy amount of Warriors fans there.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Like it was there was definitely a presence. I don't know if these are transplants, you know, PhD students or something from San Francisco. I have no idea. But yeah, it wasn't it definitely wasn't as ugly, you know, in terms of the booing, the FU chants, all of that that I've seen before. I'm not saying that's like a bad thing. It's just
I'm saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a bad thing. I think it's a bad thing for the following reasons. Obviously, chanting swear words in front of kids, fine. I don't love that, but whatever. I don't like the fact that the Warriors walked into Boston last night, and I know that there was a lot of people who hadn't gotten to their seats yet because of the traffic, and maybe that had something to do with it, which is another reason why traffic's killing sports in this city. Jaylen Brown thinks so do I. But the fact that these Warriors, who kicked your ass and then kind of rubbed their ass in your face, too, afterwards. I mean, they did. That was,
don't do that.
They were really happy to have done that to the Celtics. Ugh. And the Celtics and their fans.
Smelt.
They were all about that. They were, who was the wrestler that used to do that? That big fat guy?
A wrestling move?
Yeah, it was a wrestler. He was this big fat guy, and he used to rub his big fat ass in people's faces.
Oh, that would be the great Rikishi too.
Thank you very much. Yes, Rikishi. They Rikishi'd the...
Named after the sumo rank.
They gave
or
the Celtics
what they call sumo.
The full Rikishi treatment. For basically the entire offseason. And now they come back. Now they come back to Boston, and it's just, boo, Draymond. We don't like you, Draymond. Boo, Draymond. Like, I understand you don't want to cross lines and you don't want to be over the top. Fine. But is this it? Do the Celtics, are there no rivals left? There's no hatred anymore? I don't like this.
The most powerful man in this media market is truly John Tomasi. Everyone read that column. And they were like, can't do it. Got to be respectful here. And then it was golf claps. And Draymond made a three.
Jaylon.
He did silence them with that. I think he said something to Missoula on the way back after he sank that three. I don't know. He definitely had some words
for
Missoula.
That was a clutch three. It was a clutch three hitting
good.
That fourth quarter.
Good.
Yeah. I thought that Draymond did not have a good game, though. I thought that defensively he was getting pushed around by Horford. He got pushed around and dunked on by Robert Williams a bunch. I think the two of them, Horford and Williams combined, had like 20 points when Draymond was guarding him, which you don't see that very often, especially, you know, guys who aren't necessarily high volume scoring bigs like that. Like Joel Embiid maybe could do that, or Jokic, or one of the real big star centers, but Horford and Williams are more complimentary players, and I thought both of them did a great job offensively on Draymond Green. They were drawing fouls and scoring points, and you don't see it that often. But, I mean, listen, if we don't hate Draymond Green anymore, and we don't hate Kyrie anymore,
for
and we don't
record,
hate, like, you know, like what? Then what are we
what's
doing
the
here?
Point?
Yeah.
Well, I think people still hate Kyrie. I never hated Draymond. Like, I like Draymond because he's a character. He plays into it. Mm-hmm. And I like having guys like that in the league. As I said yesterday, the thing is I want people to be able to give it back to them.
Right.
You know? You put it out there, you take it back, and it's fun, and there's villains, and there's heroes, and everything, and that's what one of the great things about the NBA. Don't take that away.
Yeah. I agree. Draymond and Kyrie were like the Lambeer and Isaiah of this generation. And now I feel like maybe it's because the Celtics are just too good. But they're not. I mean, they lost to Golden State, and they lost to them earlier this year. I thought the loss in the Bay Area from, you know, a couple months ago, whenever it was, I thought that would be enough to really build up the hate and the anger and all that for Golden State and for Draymond, for everybody
maybe
coming in
here.
Maybe
it's just the time of year.
Maybe.
Maybe everyone's feeling a little deflated, you know, after the whole Patriots, the way the Patriots didn't even make the postseason.
That
people
could
are
be.
Coming down off the high horse a little bit.
Yeah, and everything with the Celtics has been so positive this year that that's like a negative thing, you know?
And this,
like,
is an issue for you that we haven't even touched on, because everybody's like, why don't you talk about the Bruins? Bruins win again. Why don't you talk about the Bruins? Okay, the Bruins are great.
I'll talk about the Bruins. There's not that much to say. I'm sorry, there just isn't. There. What do you want me to say?
Is Pasta going to sign that contract?
Sure, that'd be great, you know, if they sign another racist bully to the P-Bruins, then maybe I'll talk about
we'll
that.
We'll probably do 2 hours then.
Sure, but I mean, right now, other than, you just run out of ways to say these guys are awesome. These guys are kicking ass. This is the best hockey team I've ever seen in my life.
They're funny in the locker room, too.
Yeah, like this is... Forget like the NHL. This is the best hockey team I've ever seen. I've never seen, you know, like Team Canada.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Excuse me. Are you besmirching the Miracle on Ice?
Yes. I think these Bruins are better than that team. I do. I think they're better than the Soviets. They're better than Arruzioni.
Can we isolate this?
Yeah. They're better than the Bruins are better than the Miracle on Ice team. They're better than the 1970s dynasty Montreal Canadiens. They're better than the Rocket Richard Canadiens. They're better than every hockey team I've ever seen. They're winning at an 84% clip right now. That's preposterous. The 77 Canadiens were the best hockey team ever, and their percentage, they won 62 games, like 82%. These Bruins right now, 84% is the pace that they're on. That's unheard of. That's ridiculous.
You sound happy about it,
too. The best team in the history of the NHL. And eventually, you run out of ways to say these guys are really good. You know, it's just, there's nothing else. There's nothing to critique. What am I supposed to say? How are you supposed to make an entertaining hockey show, right? I feel bad. Like, there's people, that's all they do. It's just, you know, Bruins. We have to do Bruins content all the time. Thank God we have other teams we can talk about. Because really, I mean, with the Bruins, it's just a love fest. That's it. There's nothing else. There's nothing to say. I can't even make anything up. The Bruins are just too nasty.
Are you concerned about Bergeron's nose?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Bergeron took a puck off the face. Back into the game 10 minutes later, and he scores a goal, and they win the next game, too. They have two goalies who are the best goalies I've ever seen in my life. Every single thing this
They're
new coach does works.
They're the best goalies you've ever seen in your life.
Right
Jeremy
now.
Jeremy Swayman is the best goalie you've ever seen
in your life. Did you see him last
night?
No, I didn't.
Be.
I was at the Celtics game.
Swayman was amazing last night. Panarin, how many times did he stone Panarin in that first period? And Linus Ullmark is odds on favor for the Vezina. Montgomery's odds on favor for the coach of the year. I mean, these guys are ridiculous. It's hard. It's kind of like, I love the Bruins and I'm happy that they're winning. But for my job, it's frustrating because it's like, what the hell am I supposed to say? You eventually run out of ways to say these guys are good.
Put Bergeron in load management.
I mean, we'll talk about him.
779-7937.
Sure. Put him in load management. They're still not going to lose any games. You know, they're still not going to lose. They never lose. The Bruins never lose. The Celtics never lose. When they play at the same time, they both win, it seems like, every single time. Every night. It's like, oh, Celtics are on. Bruins are on. Oh, they both won by a lot. Jason Tatum had a 51-point game, and then the Bruins win 6-0. And, like, last night, same thing. These guys are ridiculous. They're the best hockey team. Not NHL. The best hockey team I've ever seen.
How about this? The best sports team you've ever seen in your entire life. The Boston Bruins.
I mean, they're close. They're getting there. They're right there. It's the Dream Team.
So ridiculous.
1992, the Dream Team with Jordan and Magic and Bird, and then the Bruins are right under the Dream Team.
I like pushing you into this bit.
Listen,
this
Fred Marchand only scored 3 goals in the month of December. I mean, he's completely fallen off. I don't know how they're going to overcome that.
Tell you what, he's heating up in January, though.
I know.
He really is. Had a couple of really nice assists last night, too.
13 points in 9 games.
He's been killing it. Let's go to our guest, who is joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline. He writes for The Athletic, and he writes about the Celtics. I'm talking, of course, about the great Jared Weiss, who joins us here on the program. Jared, how you doing?
Not as well as the Boston Bruins, apparently.
No, I mean, no one's doing as well as the Boston Bruins, and not even the Celtics as well as they're doing. Big game last night, a big win, certainly not a pretty one. Main takeaway from what we saw last night at TD Garden, Jared?
I mean, hideous wins. That's a Celtics classic right there. I think the main takeaway is that no matter how far ahead in first place the Celtics are, it doesn't even matter if the Warriors are a play-in team that just squeaking for the playoffs. When these two teams play, this is the best of the best in the NBA. And it was an absolute battle royale. It was a hideous game. I know people are talking about it being like an incredible, riveting classic of a regular season game, but these teams were just trying to give it away to each other over and over again. I don't think I've ever seen a team turn it over that many times like the Celtics did in crunch time, where they were just turning it over at the backcourt. Like, forget about plays going wrong. They would just get a rebound, try to make an outlet pass, and would get picked off, and they would fumble it away. I've never seen anything like that. The Celtics were once again reminded that no matter how good, no matter how talented they are, the Warriors understand them and can execute a defensive game plan against them at a level that nobody else can.
Jared, so after the game, Joe Mazzulla said that it was a really fun game, but it wasn't a fun start for Jason Tatum, at least offensively. Came out really cold the first 3 quarters. Can you find any through line to how he goes from having a 51-point game and then having a shooting performance like he did to start out most of the game last night.
Yeah, that was the Charlotte Hornets. There's your through line right there. The scale between a regular defense and a Warriors playoff defense is incalculable. It's the difference between the Boston Bruins and the 92 Dream Team. Like, that's how big the difference is. And, I mean, there,
so
there
exactly
is definitely
the same.
A psychological... exactly right. So there's no difference then. There is a skill impact between going up against, like, Cody Martin and Andrew Wiggins for Tatum. Draymond Green is lurking, and Draymond Green is just the one defender in the NBA that Tatum can't score on. Like, Tatum can figure it out against Wiggins. Wiggins does an amazing job against him, but Draymond just stops him everywhere he goes. He could not find rhythm. His shot wasn't falling, and that happens from time to time, and usually he can make up for it by getting to the line a bunch of times or just finding a way to bully a matchup into the paint and get to a shot he likes, but the Warriors don't ever give him a part of the game where he can find his rhythm. And so he just doesn't really have a chance to find his rhythm throughout the game. But credit to Joe, like, Joe created some kind of newer actions in crunch time on a few of the plays that they usually run that were kind of slightly different wrinkles to what we usually see. And it threw off the Warriors just enough that Tatum was actually able to finally start scoring at the end of the game when he wasn't turning the ball over.
Jared, we're far enough into the season now that I think we can all agree that this is the way it's going to be. Big minutes for Jaylen Brown, even coming off of an injury. Jason Tatum played 48 minutes in that game. Load management, I think you could probably scratch that right off here. But is Joe Mazzulla going to continue, you think, now that we're getting to the more important part of the year? Is he going to keep with these minutes?
I mean, if Jason Tatum is playing 48 minutes a game, that might not be sustainable.
Right.
I've been pretty concerned. You know, like, I remember when he took that game off to do his son's birthday party, people were like, oh, my God, I can't believe that they gave him a day off for his son's birthday party. So what it was a rest game. That was his load management day. They let him take the whole weekend to go do that, which, like, isn't, you know, it's definitely a little bit out of character for a rest day. But sprinkling in rest days for Tatum, and they absolutely have to, because – like, Tatum should be playing about 34 minutes a game, but he's a few above that. They've been pushing him. There's been a lot of games where he's crossing to the 40-minute range, and I think that's okay earlier in the year. I think it's really honestly towards this part of the season, before you get the All-Star break and you get a little bit of time to recover, where they start to really feel the need for load management. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start doing that here. I mean, they're visiting Orlando and then have Miami the second night of a back-to-back. I'm not reporting this, but I'm saying I wouldn't be shocked if some of these guys got a break in those games. Obviously, we know Rob Williams and Al Horford will probably split those two games. But so, yeah, Tatum, like, we know what the issue was with him last year in the playoffs. It wasn't talent. It wasn't that he wasn't ready. Those were part of it, but it was that he was tired and he was also hurt. He had a wrist injury. But he was losing. I remember hearing about him losing legs by the time the Miami series was starting. So when it got to Golden State and Golden State executed the perfect game plan against them, he just didn't stand a chance. So they, you know, they're great. They're in first place by a mile right now. They have plenty of breathing room to let Tatum and Brown get some rest in. Brown obviously has been resting because he was injured. Tatum, he definitely needs a few days off sprinkled in here over the next month or so.
We're talking to Jared Weiss of The Athletic. So, Jared, we were talking about the turnovers last night and some of the really boneheaded turnovers that we saw the stars on this team make. Is that just kind of who these guys are now? Like, at this point, we've seen them reach such sky-high heights of basketball. Are we just going to have to learn to live with these silly turnovers at times?
I mean, I think that that's what happens with everybody. I mean, Steph Curry has crazy turnover nights all the time. And that's honestly a part of his play style, is that he takes huge risks all the time and they don't work out. And I mean, Steph Curry, he took over the game at times, but he still finished with, I think it was less than 30 points, right? So it wasn't like he completely dominated. When you're a star player, it's about, you have to make a ton of decisions throughout the game, and you're trying to generally make the right one. You're not trying to make an incredible move every single time, but steadily making the right plays that it builds up to a big aggregate performance. I think Tatum has been great at that this year. His turnover numbers are pretty solid. Smart and Jaylen Brown, they turn it over a good amount for different reasons. I mean, Smart because he's a super aggressive passer and makes a lot of daring plays, also makes a lot of silly plays. But his turnovers have been a lot better this year than they have in the past, and his assist numbers have been up. And then Jaylen, Jaylen just gets into these modes sometimes where he wants to dribble through the entire defense, and he gets into like a creative hesitation move, and it gets deflected, and then he dribbles it off of his knee. And then, to his credit, he usually dives on the floor and recovers it. So his loose balls don't always hurt him the turnovers, but he does it enough that he still racks up turnovers. So I see Jaylen right there. I guess this season he's the only player that I think has been a major turnover concern, but it's been consistent with his career. So if you're talking about learning to live with it, maybe Jaylen is the one guy where that's the case. But I think Tatum and Smart have been probably having their best seasons as far as taking care of the ball.
Jared, do any other teams in the East scare you?
Yes, Brooklyn and Milwaukee have the potential to be fearful. They have the potential to be as good as Boston. Boston, I think, because of health and because of their depth at the top of their rotation, has been able to sustain throughout the season more consistently, while Brooklyn and Milwaukee have really had health issues that have hurt them throughout the year. But those two teams, when they're fully healthy, are able to get to the level that Boston's able to get to. And then there's a couple teams behind them that clearly have that potential, but I still think Milwaukee and Brooklyn have the talent, have the star talent, have a good complementary core around them that they definitely can beat the Celtics in a playoff series.
Notice you didn't say the Sixers or the Heat.
I would say that the Sixers and the Cavs are on that tier right below those two teams. And then we all know Miami is always capable of getting there. But, like, also during the regular season, Miami only has, like, two starters available a night. So it's always hard to gauge them in the regular season.
Jared, how would you grade out the Celtics bench in terms of the guys who were in the rotation last night? Then you have Malcolm Brogdon, Grant Williams, Derek White. Where do you feel like the team is with that group of guys?
Top eight rotation, which is what your rotation generally is in the playoffs, they're the best in the league, right? I mean, it's not a shocker. They're first place. But their bench core, you have three guys that would be starting on a good amount of teams in the NBA probably. And they're versatile. Like, that's what's great about it. Is Derek White can play three different roles for you. Grant Williams can play three different positions for you. He can guard wings. He can guard bigs when he has to. He can be a rebounder, he can be a floor spacer. And then we know what Brogdon is. You know, Brogdon has played, he's played with blinders on a lot this year, and he's made a lot of, he's had some games where he's taken a lot of bad shots, last night included, but he also could completely win you a game whenever he wants to. So, and his defense hasn't quite been where it's been in the past. I wonder if that's going to pick up as the year goes on. But they've got three really good players there. And when you get to the playoffs, it's not going to come. I've had a few people tell me this over the last week, and I completely agree with it, that winning a playoff series is not going to come down to your ninth man. And, you know, right now this team is searching for a ninth man that they can really rely on to not get not be a vulnerability point in a playoff series. And maybe that does happen, but those guys, if they play like 6 minutes a game in the playoffs, you're usually not going to make or break a playoff series in those minutes. So I think that they're in a fine position with their roster right now. They don't have to make moves. If they could use a second-round pick to pick up another solid rotation piece that plugs one of the small holes that they have in their rotation, that makes sense. But making a bigger trade and using a first-round pick for it, it's not necessary because they just did that in 2022. They acquired two great bench players with first-round picks to already build a pretty complete bench.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Jared Weiss, thanks so much for the time today. You can check him out on Twitter at JaredWeissNBA. You're in Toronto now, yes?
Yeah, I'm staring at the CN Tower right now.
Enjoy Toronto and enjoy Florida, which is where you're going right after this. And I'm very jealous of you for that because it's snowing here now. So enjoy the rest of the road trip, and we'll talk to you soon.
I'm looking at snow. I cannot wait to see palm trees.
Very good. That's Jared Weiss of The Athletic joining us here on the program.
Thanks,
great
Jared.
Stuff as always. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break, and we're right back.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
Sports Radio WEEI. It's Christian Arkin. It's Megan Ottolini. Want to say thanks again to Jared Weiss at The Athletic for joining us there in that last segment. We're going to get to the Patriots here in just a few minutes. Bert Breer had some interesting thoughts on NBC Sports Boston last night that we will get to. We'll preview the division round two as we got football coming up this weekend. Very, very exciting. But real quick, there was an exchange you may have missed in the TNT broadcast last night. It was Stan Van Gundy And, well, the exchange actually was between Stan Van Gundy and Kevin Durant. And they brought it up in the broadcast last night because Van Gundy was the was doing color commentary. And the whole thing started with Van Gundy making a comment about players. It was sort of about load management, right?
So he tweeted, this is Stan Van Gundy, 90s NBA teams had just a trainer and strength coach. They practiced more often and harder and played more back-to-backs. Teams now have huge medical and performance staffs and value rest over practice, yet injuries and games missed are way up. Something's not working, to which Kevin Durant responded, Stan spitting. And that's where this whole report from Chris Haynes came from on the broadcast last night.
So that was a funny Twitter exchange that happened a few days ago, maybe it was yesterday, featuring our guy Stan Van Gundy. He was basically criticizing the way the medical resources of the past was limited for NBA teams, but yet players still played back-to-backs. Kevin Durant weighed in, replied, said Stan is spitting. Stan Van Gundy saw it, and he responded, no. I'm not criticizing.
Well, I know I'm not spitting.
I'm saying that we need to get something right. It's, everything is wrong. What's going on with the way we train players? Kevin Durant came back in and said, "Stan, I agree with you." Laugh out loud. Then Felipe jumped in and explained.
Hang on.
Spitting.
Who's Felipe? Where did Felipe come from?
Felipe just came out of nowhere and had to weigh in on
Kevin
that.
Durant's talking and Stan Van Gundy is responding, and then out here's Felipe. Like, wait, who's Felipe? I like that.
And explain. Stan, spitting means you're speaking facts, Stan.
Yeah, they
Stan's
had
no response. I had no idea.
I did have no idea, Chris. Look, my defense is I'm old, really, really old.
He is pretty old. Stan Van Gundy, old guy. Yeah, when someone's spitting, they're spitting facts. Like they're spit. This guy is. I agree with what this guy's saying, and that's what he was saying.
Thanks for the definition.
Stan's like, I was not spitting. I didn't spit.
It was so wholesome. Like it warmed my heart to see that.
Are there
and Kevin Durant? No. I'm with you. I am with you on this, Stan.
I'm with you, man.
Durant goes, Stan spitting, and then Stan Van Gundy goes, no, I'm not criticizing players. I'm saying that we are getting something wrong in how we prepare and train players. We can't do anything about injuries like yours. He fell on your leg, but all of these groin, hamstring injuries, etc., shouldn't be happening as much as they are. And Durant's like, Stan, I agree with you.
With you. Spitting means I am with you. Made me think of the conversation we had with Brian Scalabrine the other day, where we were talking about how Tatum joked that he was going to have to fight with Brad Stevens about his hurt fingers and maybe missing time for that. And he was like, well, there's, you know, somewhere between 15 and 20 sports science. I don't know if you'd even call them doctors, but like professionals who are deciding on everybody's availability.
Do you think a doctor would be happy if those guys were called doctors?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, doctors have a problem with like somebody who's a doctor of anthropology because they have a PhD being called doctor.
Yeah.
They don't like
Dr. Dre or, you know, Dr. J, any of the fake doctors. Not cool with that. Doctors are very touchy about that stuff. Like, great, you went to school for a long time. Good for you. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Yeah, I have a problem with them being all snooty.
They save lives.
That's great. Save all the lives you want.
They fix children.
That doesn't mean you get to be all uppity about it.
I think it actually does.
No, I actually don't think so. You can be a doctor and be cool about it instead of being like, hey, you can't call yourself a doctor. I'm a doctor.
Not all doctors.
Not all doctors, sure.
My dad was like that. He never once. My mother would always correct. No. It's not Mister. It's Doctor. My dad's like, whatever. I don't care.
Call me what you want. Right? I don't like it when people start telling you got to call me this. You got to call me Doctor. Like,
look, my defense is I'm old.
I don't have to call you Doctor. I don't even know you. I'll call my doctor Doctor. Some random guy just
Doctor Fred. Hey, Larry.
No.
Where did Doc Rivers go to medical school? Come on.
That's right. Pretty sure he's not even a doctor.
That's a nickname.
Call him Glenn.
Have you been hit by a phrase or a comment like that and you didn't know what it meant and you ended up looking stupid? Like, that's definitely happened to me.
I'm definitely at the point now where that happens to me. I can't think at the off the top of my head of one where I've been so embarrassed that I didn't know it.
I got one.
What is it?
No cap.
No cap.
No cap. First time I saw no cap, I was like, what the hell does this mean? And it's not even no cap spelled out. It's no blue hat emoji. And then I went into like the genesis of this, and it's somehow tied into Hey Arnold, which was a cartoon show which was on when I was a kid.
That's
like,
where it came from?
Apparently, I think that's where it came from. If we go to the great resource that is urbandictionary.com, I think they have the genesis of no cap. But I mean, I grew up with that show. I don't understand why I don't know this, but I know the first time I saw it, I'm like, I don't understand what this means. Apparently, it means I'm not lying.
I think I'm probably more guilty of just saying stuff that's really outdated, you know, like that, where I probably sound like an extreme nerd to people who are in their early 20s or teens, the teens, but everybody sounds like a nerd to the teens. So I'm not self-conscious.
I'll tell you,
there's something that like TikTok language that you don't know.
Well, I don't know anything on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. I refuse to get on now, and eventually it's going to get banned. So it doesn't matter anyway. But I remember when like drip became a thing. Everyone started talking about drip, and I was like, what? what's that?
Well, there's drip, and then there's fit, and they're different.
Right. The fit and the drip are two different things, but I remember like people were just, look at the drip. Oh. Wow, check out the drip. And I was like, well, I don't know what I'm looking for.
You know what I didn't know what it was? What was? Mm-hmm.
Simp.
Someone was talking about simping.
I still don't understand
And I didn't know
that.
what it means. It means that you're like just
a lot of your Twitter followers.
Like groveling to someone. No,
basically, yes.
I have something that's the opposite. I don't know what that is.
You have lots of simps. Come on. I've been caught in the crossfire of your mentions before.
Simp crossfire.
And there are simps in there. There are 100% simps in there.
Simpsons there?
The Simpsons are there,
There's
yes.
a lot of Simpsons gifts.
I like Crossfire.
I know I'm old, too, but I know what simps are, and you got simps.
My sneeze is vibing.
I don't like the vibe thing. I'm over the vibe thing. I made a list
You're
of this.
You're over chill with, vibes?
Yeah, I made
chill
a list of this
only.
With Mutt, like, a year ago of phrases that I don't want to be. It's just like Instagram language to me is what it is. Like, vibes only. Or vibin, or like big yikes, or what's the one that I keep seeing right now? It's giving.
Yeah,
girl,
what is that?
It's giving blank. Means like this conversation is stupid. I don't want to have this conversation anymore because I hate this language so much.
I'm just going to play this for all of us. I don't know what the kids like. I don't understand them anymore.
Everyone started saying low key and high key all the time. That's high key something. That's low key.
That was a long time ago.
This is high key, stupid. You're low key, dumb. Like, you know what I mean? Like that became a big thing. But I got that.
I never
like went over my head. Like I didn't understand it. You know?
I
like,
still say on the DL. keep this on the DL.
Keep it on the DL, guys.
This is on the down low.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Stan Van Gundy. Megan Ottolini, Christian Arcan, old and out of touch. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number.
Really, really old.
Yeah. Let's take a quick call here. John is in Lynn. John, go ahead. John!
How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi.
I like the new show. I do miss Lou.
I miss Lou too.
Gotta admit that. But Megan, I just want to give you a little advice. I listen to Mr. Jones and Arcan at night.
Okay.
And I don't want to hear stumbling all over you during the new show. I want to see you get your 2 cents in worth there.
Nope, not going to happen, John. Sorry.
Okay.
The right. woman will not be allowed to speak.
I tried.
Thanks, John.
We had a meeting today, and we decided that we're not going to let Megan talk, and that's just the way the new show is going to be. It's a decision we all made. We all think it's best for everyone.
I think
everyone.
It'll work.
I think it will,
I think
too.
It'll work better.
Thanks for the call, John. 617-779-7937.
No
There's your phone number. No caps.
No caps.
She's not going to talk.
Was that a simp?
That was 100%
simping
a simp.
Hard.
Yes, it was. When we come back, we're going to hear from Albert Breer.
My dog is such a simp.
He's definitely a simp. And we'll get to the division round. Got some football coming up. No Patriots or anything, but we'll talk about the teams that are playing.
Wait,
that's all coming up.
We are going to talk a little Patriots, just so you
Yeah,
know.
But not in the division round. All coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.